We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Yeah, we like squeezed in one with Gabe, and then we did two, and this is our fourth, yeah.
Damn right. Love it. And it's so good. So good to be back recording with my favorite person on the earth besides my wife and my dog. Ice Young, Dice It Up, here again. The WNBA season is over, Ice. The Las Vegas Aces are WNBA champions. Such a storybook season. What a series. And can we say how right I was?
Yeah. No, we can't say that. What? First of all, what's up? Second of all, I thought you said it was going to be a sweep. I feel like I could go back and clip this, that you were like, yeah, it's going to be a sweep. Connecticut has no chance. They should just burn the whole franchise and throw the whole franchise away, I think was the like baseline of our last conversation.
I was trying to get on the disrespect montage. but yes, I was not right in that. I said it would be a sweep, but because game three, which I was in attendance for, and like, I should have known this coming in. I mean, I've talked about it, especially with in terms of gambling. I've never seen Connecticut lose in person. It brings my record to 7-0 while I'm there. And I was tweeting about it. I even tagged Mohegan Sun. I can't believe they didn't try to do something to get me in the arena for Sunday. They had chances to win that game. They were up in the fourth quarter.
This is true.
I mean, that had to be – that was the best game of the series for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I think it felt like the championship game, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
Asia was going off in the first half but had a really quiet second half.
Yeah, I think that's what just makes the Aces so tough to beat, obviously, and no one could do it, is the fact that – they just have so many superstars that if one is not performing well, the other two or three can kind of hold. And then, like, honestly, you really got to acknowledge Raquana Williams. Like, wow.
Oh, my God.
Just talk about stepping up. Talk about right place, right time. Talk about confidence. Like, the level of confidence she had to shoot those shots down the stretch. And she shot them with ultimate confidence. Like, she didn't hesitate. She wasn't looking to pass. She's like, no. I know my role. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. Like, just the level of confidence that she played with, I think can inspire any role player on any team anywhere to understand that sometimes you just have to do your role. You just have to play your role the best that you can. And that was clearly enough for the Aces. Like, it's a shame because, like, obviously we love Chelsea Gray and she has been playing unconscious, like, all playoffs, all series. But you kind of finished that game and you were like, yo, like Raquana Williams deserves like something. I don't know if there's like a mini second trophy or like a, hey, thanks for being here towards the end, but she really helped them pull it out. Because if it was not for her, I definitely feel like it would have went to a game five, which I think would have shocked all of us, because I don't think anybody thought it was going to game five besides Connecticut.
Yeah. I mean, I was getting a little worried. I was like, oh, maybe I'm not needed in the arena. but Raquana Williams saves my, you know, my narrative. I mean, she was 3 for 14 from three in this series going into game four. And she hits 4 in the fourth quarter. And they're not just like normal, you know,
open.
They're not first half shots. They're not.
Right. Right.
There's so much pressure after you've, I mean, I thought it was almost out of hand at a second. Like, it felt like the Aces were on the verge of pulling away so many times.
Yeah.
They even go down and she hits one in rhythm. She hits one out of an ATO. And I mean, by the third or fourth, I'm like, you're not taking that shot again. You're not doing that. Season high comes in the last game of the season, 17 points, 5 made threes. It should not be glanced over how important Raquana Williams was. And then, of course, shout out to our girl, Kelsey Plum, with the dagger.
Facts. So tough.
Yeah. It goes back to your original point. You have pieces that can step up when your superstars are not. That team is just so talented. Jackie Young was, I think, 1 for 10 from the field in this game. She had 22 points the night before. Didn't matter. She still played a great game. It felt like defensively, I think she had 6 assists in the first half. And then you have Chelsea Gray, who, I mean, you may have been her biggest fan at the beginning of back when we were talking about our redraft. Can you imagine doing our redraft again?
I was. Daniel, that's a good point. I was. I think you looked at me like, really, Chelsea? I'm like, no, Chelsea. That's a good point.
Yes, I had Kayla McBride over her. I am insane. I mean, to be fair to me, I mean, I think Chelsea was having like an okay beginning of the year, but I've never seen anyone so locked in throughout an entire playoff run. My God. You gave it up for the point guard God at the beginning. I mean, I guess we can't really overstate understate how special Alyssa Thomas was in this series too. I mean, she was also in that redraft class.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Did she end with a triple double as well?
She did. Two of them back to back, the first time in NBA Finals history. Yeah. I truly believe if this season had gone on for another 7 games, she would have posted another 4. I just think like she's just kind of in her groove. It's the perfect team where she can do a little bit of everything. And where she has to do a little bit of everything, but you're not asking for anything that she doesn't want to do. Honestly, like, I hate to bring this up, but like, AT is so dangerous and still does not have full use of her shoulders. Like, I cannot imagine. No, seriously, think about that. I seriously cannot imagine if like teams could no longer leave her open 12 feet out because they know she's shooting this one-handed floater every time. Like, that's, I can't imagine if you actually had to guard her because she could make a 15-footer consistently.
Yeah, and credit to her. I feel like she did start to make those consistently, I mean, in the last 2 games, but you're right.
Yeah,
I cannot imagine.
Yeah, she's definitely crafted that shot, but I just can't imagine if you had to guard her any more than what you have to guard her. Like, it's embarrassing that somebody with no shoulders is beating you that like, is averaging a triple-double. Seriously, though, that's incredible to me.
That's it just sounds so funny when you put it like that. Somebody with no shoulders.
Sorry, AT. You know I love AT. I'm just saying, I think that's amazing. Like, I think Holly Rowe does her little annual, you know, hit on Alyssa Thomas' shoulders. And it's like, she needs to add to that at the end. Like, well, she's now the triple-double queen who clearly doesn't need these things to be fixed in order to continue to kill the league.
Was there anyone on the Sun this series that you... I mean, I think there's one obvious answer, and she had a decent game three, or she had a good game three and a decent game four. But is there anyone that stands out that should have done a lot more for the Sun team?
Anyone that stands out that should have done more for the Sun? I think looking at it, you know, you expect a lot from like a Breonna Jones and a Dawana Bonner. And I think just what they kind of lack, which is something I think Vegas lack too, is like consistency, right? Like having players who are consistently going to have good games and be productive on both sides of the basketball. You know, we talked about that one day where like DB and Courtney Williams, where were they? They were like, it was equivalent of like a 2 for 10, like an 8 for 19 or something like that.
Yeah,
something
both crazy. 1 for 9 in one game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it just makes me think that I think overall what they miss is just a consistency from start to finish in their main players that needed to play. Right. Like we saw games where Natisha Heidemann had a really good game. One game she had 9 assists and kind of was, you know, a real focal point in the game. Then other games we don't see her. Same thing with Courtney Williams. Same thing with Dawana Bonner. Like I will say I really wanted this one for DB though. I felt like DB had just made the correct move and going to Connecticut. She made moves she needed to make. I know all that she's, you know, went through to be able to get her team to the finals and kind of ground her team and lead her team in that way. And just seemed like she didn't have all she needed to have, I felt like, in order to get it done. But she did a tremendous job, again, getting her team to the finals. Like a lot of us didn't even think it was possible that they were going to get through Chicago. And they made us eat our words because they got there. Yes.
Definitely me.
What about you? Was there anyone that stood out for you that you felt like Connecticut needed more of?
Well, I mean, for me, the obvious one was Dawana Bonner, but like, I didn't think about Bree Jones that much, but like, I think this whole playoffs is just kind of, her usage was down a lot. And it's weird that that happened with the like low amount of minutes that Jonquel Jones was playing. It's such a strange team overall. I mean, I loved everything. I mean, she had one or two maybe bad shooting nights, but Courtney Williams was phenomenal this playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Defensively as well. She had some really big plays and defensively, like, you know, guarding Kelsey Plum, guarding some of those perimeter players. Yep.
Yeah. DB was great against Chelsea Gray in game 3.
Yeah.
The only player who could slow her down, I think it was her first game under 20. And I think, I don't know how long. Months, right?
Yeah.
So it's tough. I mean, it sucks being that close. Like for Connecticut fans, I'm sorry you were close, but you're also running up against a buzzsaw, and that's like Becky was arguably like just some of her schemes. I mean, mixing in the zone when it was needed. I mean, the way to motivate your team after getting, you know, beat by 30 on the road. I mean, granted, they're professionals and they understand what was at stake, but
right.
It's hard to win on the road in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So credit to her. Can't say enough great things about Asia, Chelsea. Kelsey had a bounce back series after she was hearing a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm. She heard me.
And of course, you know, the hero of Quanah Williams that we talked about before.
Yeah.
We'll quickly glance over, you know, the Aces next year. They're basically bringing everybody back. So is there a real chance in your mind that they could, you know, run the table again?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a real chance. I think the only question anybody's going to probably ask is, like, can Chelsea Gray play at this level for a whole season? You know, is it only going to come after some level of disrespect? And again, I'm a Chelsea Gray fan, so I think so. I think she's always been this good. It's never just truly been highlighted. And it's never been this long of a consistency. Like you talked about 20-point scoring games in like a month where she hasn't scored less than that. But I think also too, what we saw is her ability to take over, right? Like we always looked at, you know, Kelsey Plum and Asia Wilson. And we were like, oh, even Jackie Young to a certain degree, you know, like these players are the ones who are mainly going to take over and she's going to make sure everybody gets a piece of the pie. And Chelsea was like, nah, bump that. I'm past faking and shooting. I'll take over. It's no problem. I feel like they can repeat if Chelsea can play at this level the whole season. Because I truly don't think that there's anybody who's going to be able to stop her. Like, I don't think that there's anybody who's going to be able to stop her. And I think if everybody says, hey, our game plan is to stop Chelsea, what are you going to do about the other 3 or 4? I don't even know.
To me, it is so, so shocking to think that, like, there was a point in this season that Jackie Young was basically having like 25 and 30 point games.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
and Chelsea Gray was having, you know, 9 and 12 point games.
Yes. But then like 10 assists, you know? Yeah.
The adjustments that team made, understanding who needed to step up, especially in the playoffs, it's amazing. But go ahead.
I was gonna say, I just will say that I also would love to hear more about the dynamic between Becky Hammon and Chelsea Gray. I think that can make or break certain teams. And I think that you saw down the stretch a lot of faith and trust in Chelsea playing one-on-one and getting a bucket from Becky Hammon. There was not a lot of scheme in terms of, hey, we're going to run on offense, or we're going to do this and this. Like sometimes, a lot of the times, it became just give her the ball and she'll make a play, whether she's scoring or whether she's getting somebody else involved. So I will say that I thought that dynamic is great, and I'd love to hear more about that and a sit-down interview with them too, and talking about this playoffs run and just how that changed over time, because Chelsea started to play unconscious, and so Becky was like, we got to ride that wave. That also happens, though, when you have a player's coach, right? Like someone who says, yo, I've been there before. Becky, like, I've been there before. I've been in the zone. I'll let you do it, you know? And if you need help and you need us to, like, support you, we'll do it, because it clearly became the Chelsea Gray show, clearly. Yeah. Yeah, which ain't mad at it. I don't think anybody walked away being mad at that, you know?
No, funny you say that, because like Kurt Miller also was in reading one of Mark's pieces on Kurt, said he's done like the less coaching of any year in his career than this year. Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of like what you get when you have one of the most like dominant usage players in Alyssa. 100%. But it's probably harder to make that decision as Becky, when you have so many pieces and so many mouths to feed. And I don't want to say Chelsea changed her game in any way. It just probably changed the volume of shots and the tempo. I mean, their pace went down incredibly, and it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I think it was really cool just seeing all the love that Becky Hammon has got, just, you know, being the first coach to win a title and doing it in her first year and, you know, being used to being overlooked and just all of her different quotes you keep saying, right? I just do me. Like, I'm focused on proving to myself that I'm the best and not to others. Like, I just think that's a very cool storyline. And I think it's good for the league. I think it's good for the league that they're seeing a former player come back and was able to dominate on the floor and as a coach. That'd be like Dawn Staley, you know, moving and coaching WNBA, which I don't think is going to happen, but she'd be the equivalent of a Dawn in that area. So
for sure.
Love your thoughts on Connecticut. What you got on Connecticut next year, my friend? What are we looking at?
Well, unlike the Aces, where they have pretty much everyone coming back with the exception of Kia Stokes, you know, and then the next year they'll get, I mean, they're not going to let Asia walk, and I don't think Asia will leave. It's a lot more gloomy on that side. They definitely have a decision to make, right? You can't keep, I mean, because Breonna Jones is going to get probably a max contract somewhere. And I mean, obviously, if Jazz Thomas comes back, and I think you've spoken to her and you think that she did not want to hang it up after, you know, letting an injury, you know, end her career. So you assume that Jazz will be back, and that's a big piece. We know how important she is. And I mean, you've spoken about that countless times, about just not only on the court, but like kind of leadership off the court. So that's one piece, but out of the three with, you know, Jonquel, Breonna Jones, Alyssa Thomas, I think you can basically only keep two of those players. For me, this might come as a shock because she is the 2021 WNBA MVP, but I think you got to look to shop Jonquel Jones. And my dream scenario, I was talking about our guy, I was talking about this with our guy, Gabe Ibrahim.
Uh-huh.
The package that the Mystics could put together for Jonquel Jones.
You've mentioned this to me before. You've mentioned this to me before.
I mean, I would do this. Shakir Austin. You're going to have a top three pick probably this year from LA.
Mm.
And then throw in another pick and I don't know, maybe 3 first-round picks, but I mean, I would do that if I'm the Mystics, right? Give up. I mean, just think about her playing with EDD, Errol Atkins, Natasha Cloud. Completely different. And I think Mike T would get some different aspects of her game that she doesn't get to expose on this Connecticut Sun roster. And a healthy EDD with her. I mean, I guess we never got to see kind of Tina Charles play with EDD. So I would love that. That'd be my dream scenario. But if that doesn't happen, my guess is, I mean, it seems you're closer to the organization, but it seems like they love Bree Jones.
Yeah. I mean, how can you not? You know, I think anybody in the league, it would take her in a heartbeat. You know, I truly do. 'Cause there's time and a place where you can play her, and you can play her significant minutes and know that she's going to produce. My thing with Connecticut, though, is like, it also was a story of like their bench. You know, if they had one more key decent player on the bench, that also could have changed their series. You know, granted they made it without it, but they also would need that. Now, someone could say like, hey, okay, with Jazz Thomas coming back, would Atisha Hydman become a bench player? And then what do you look for that? Yes, but yes and no. Like, who really knows, right? And then obviously anybody coming off an ACL, you never know what to expect. But I also think that that's of their thinking, has to be critical thinking. Like if you got to get rid of somebody, also, you got to also bring in a bench that is actually going to be able to play and contribute more. I think they wasted a lot of roster spots, unfortunately, on some of their bench that they had and just not playing them and not being useful. I think that was a difference between them and a Chicago. You know, I think Chicago gives you a great example of like what a deep bench can really do. When you're in muddy waters, and even though obviously they didn't get to the finals in their season, it looked how it looked. We have no doubt that if the team stays together, they could definitely come back and do it. You know, like they were right there, but they have the pieces to do it, right? It became a basketball thing. So I also think Connecticut's got to find some way to get some better pieces, especially coming off the bench. I do think Dejanay Carrington had a good year. Obviously Breonna Jones had a great year. I don't think anybody expected anything different out of her being close to that organization, but they've got to find at least one other piece, so to speak, that can really play major bench minutes and really increase the level of play. They've got to, if they want to win a finals, which they haven't done yet.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. If I had to ask you right now of like, say you're the GM for the Connecticut Sun, and you can keep Breonna Jones, 2 of the 3, Breonna Jones, Alyssa Thompson, Jonquel Jones. What is your first thought without going through analytics, anything like that, that we would normally do in this situation? What would you do?
I think my first simple thought is to keep Alyssa Thompson and Jonquel Jones, only because JJ is more versatile than Breonna Jones, just because she simply doesn't shoot from the outside. That would be my first initial thought, is that there are just more uses and more ways that you can use her. But I think off of watching this season and who I would trust more to keep on my team, I think I would trust Breezy more. I do. I think I would trust Breezy more. And I think that Breezy still has a tremendous upside to her game as well. I think that what we're seeing is not the end all be all of her game. Which is really cool. I do. I think that she can grow in a lot of different ways. I truly do.
Yeah, I mean, she showed a lot of flashes of shooting from the outside, especially in this series.
Yeah, she did, which is not normal, right? But I think that that's going to be the next level of her game, right? Is to be able to shoot those consistently and not worry about it. Because obviously she's great in terms of her rate inside the paint, inside the restricted area. I think she was like top 5 in the league in terms of percentage and making those amount of shots in the restricted area. So that would be my thought, but I hear you. I think, you know, obviously DB is there for another year, which is great. I'm not sure the situation on Courtney Williams. I don't know. Forgive me for not doing my research all, but I do not know the situation on Courtney Williams. I just know that what she was in Atlanta was not going to be the same as her coming to Connecticut. But I think that the team did a decent job of putting together a group of all-stars, all besides one who had not gotten a taste of like championship basketball and was able to get them there. You know, they were right there. They were a couple of plays and to me, one different bench player away from making it happen.
Yeah, so next year, the Breonna Jones, Courtney Williams are both unrestricted free agents, and Natisha Hydeman is a restricted free agent.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah, okay. I mean, I think you'd want to bring back her too, especially after what she showed. I think
100%.
I think she would
have other incentives to bring her back. So, yeah, I could see that too for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Meet her dad at all the playoff games, always.
I know. It's so funny. I was watching the game yesterday with a friend of mine. He was like, that guy by the bench is really animated. I said, no. He's number 10's dad. He's more than animated. That man is invested in this. But yeah, he's awesome. He's a treat for sure.
Well, all in all, we love this season. New champion. We love new champions. It's 3 in the last 4 years. Can't beat that.
Sure. As long as it wasn't Seattle, I'm all right.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. No comment. Well, we have a lot of content coming for you in the future with Dice It Up. I think we're going to dive into some of the overseas aspects, as most of you, if some of you don't know, Ice does play professionally overseas. She last played in Greece, and we're steadily awaiting where she's going to end up next. Doesn't matter. I'll still travel there. and, of course, we're going to do a lot with the college game. The women's college game is awesome. We have so many data points, insights on herhoopstats.com. Mm-hmm. Go sign up. I mean, I was just going down rabbit holes in the Big East today. So many cool nuggets. So excited for those next couple seasons. And I mean, I feel like I'm very excited to learn about kind of the just more about overseas in general, because I don't know. And it'll be great to get a lot of your insights, Ice. And talk to some of the people that you play with all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think that, you know, as someone who loves college basketball and overseas basketball, like the best time of the year is kind of coming up, unfortunately. You know, unfortunately, it doesn't include the W, but I think all college basketball, all overseas basketball, NBA will start back up. Like, we're getting into the thick of it, where you can literally watch basketball anytime, any day. So it's a little slow period right now, though. I saw a tweet that did say, like, this is the point where there's no NBA, WNBA, or college basketball on TV. Oh, what yeah. are we supposed to do? I said, yeah, because I'm not really a football person, so I don't really know. But it's fine. We'll push through until we get there. But yeah, I'm excited to cover overseas stuff and college basketball stuff. I think it's ever growing. So it's going to be great.
Yeah. I mean, you know, those of you in the greater New York area, you know, Dan Obataya had 23 second half points in his rec league game the other day. I texted Ice immediately. I was like, I got so hot. I was on my Chelsea Gray stuff. Maybe they use another language.
Oh, yeah, just a little bit. What was my response?
It was so much proud of you. I'm so hyped for you. It's lit.
Shooter, shoot.
That's right.
Shoot.
I did tell her I was 0-for-6 in the first half from 3, but we got hot.
Yeah, you got to keep it. You know, you got to tell the whole story. Nothing but the truth, the whole truth, but it's fine.
I know. I did leave with 23 second half points.
I was so proud. I said, man, I love when my friends are shooters, because it's the worst. It's the worst when they're not.
Well, before you end up going to wherever you end up going, we do need to like go shoot around together.
We do. We should do. Matter of fact, that should be our next podcast. We should just let go. Should watch us shoot. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, we should go shoot with, like, you know, some players who are playing. I mean, I know Coach Bazella invited us over, you know, down to is it Orange, New Jersey? What city is Seton Hall in? No disrespect, I love it. Is it
this like, is so sad? I just say North Jersey, Seton Hall.
I feel like they play in Newark.
I'm supposed to know this. Nobody said anything. Jersey City,
South Orange, New Jersey.
South Orange. Okay. One of the oranges. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, cool. Well, maybe we'll do something over there. See how badly Ice and Lauren Park Lane can outshoot myself. But either way, it was a lovely WNBA season. So much to look forward to. And loved being on Dice It Up always. And we're going to keep on keeping on.
Yeah, love it. Thanks, everybody, for staying with us all throughout the W season.
Talk soon.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.